There is one announcement I forgot, and I'll catch it right now. Tuesday, Preston has a 6th birthday, so I'm sure they're not here this morning, but it's good for us to remember that as well. This morning you saw that they brought the board out this morning, and I don't feel like I have a lot to put up on there that's going to be that you couldn't take in notes, but I decided I was going to do this because sometimes to see something helps rivet it in our mind. You know, Jesus used examples as he went through life, and it helped to things to stick. And I want to do that this morning a little bit. Children, if Fanny Crosby walked in here and asked you, "Is the sun shining?" What would you answer her? Well, you look out the windows and it's pretty obvious. It must be a nice day out there. The sun is shining. Why would Fanny Crosby have to ask us? Do you know? That's right, she was blind. Okay? She couldn't see it. But if she was outside, I think there's things that she would have noticed that the sun was shining. You out in the sun, you feel the warmth from it. You feel the heat from it. And when usually somebody's like that, their sense of feel is a lot sharper. Well, I do install windows, as you all know. And we enjoy nice sunny days. And the crew I work on, this message was formed in my mind because the other day I was told, "The sun's shining. Hey, Ronald, the sun's shining." I said, "Great." It was shining before, too. And got my mind thinking, and I'm going to try my hardest a little bit. I think we can know that sun there. And we know that's the clouds there. And we're going to draw a little earth down here in case you can't see it because it's blocked here. We'll mark that earth. All right? That drawing points out that there's sometimes in our life there's something gets in the way between us and the sun. But does any one of you doubt that that sun is still shining? If this was a cloudy day, yesterday where we were at, it was cloudy. It was a nice day. But it was cloudy. It was warm. But there wasn't a doubt in my mind that the sun was shining. I've titled the message this morning, "Is the Sun Shining?" Is the sun shining? And I want to go through some aspects of what the sun does for us and turn it into a spiritual aspect in our lives. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. As I was studying and looking into studying on the sun and what it is, and I there was this well-educated man was writing about the sun, and he went on, he said, "There's so much more about the sun that we might never even know." I thought, so true about our God. We just may never know. But he's the one that created it, and that's the first point I have, is that the sun is predictable. And you think with me as we think of when the sun was created, and let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 through 19. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Do you ever wonder how people can make the calendar and predict the day, and it's not hard to believe. God created it. It says it right there. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. It's God's plan. It's the way it was made. He's predictable, and the sun is predictable. Now, I don't know how you wrote the title down this morning, but I'm going to write the title up here. S-O-N. That's the one we want to liken it to. Is the sun shining? We're going to change this over to that. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's predictable, just like the sun. You don't expect it to not come up in the morning. You don't expect it to get to, 7 o'clock or somewhere around there, it gets light. You don't expect it to stay dark the whole time, do you? Not me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is predictable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, for all of life. But it's beyond that. It's forever. We can't fathom that. You look at his life. If we go on in Genesis chapter, I believe it's chapter 2, where we find the fall of man and how it's predicted that someday there is going to be a son that is going to bruise Satan. The seed of the woman is going to bruise Satan, the serpent's head. It's predicted. Later on in our word that we have the prophets prophesying of his coming. And we come to this Christmas season as we had a message on Christ coming and as a baby. And Luke 2 has that avenue of where it says there, and when the fullness of time was come. And I like to think beyond that, just the time of his birth, but I like to think beyond to the fact that God's timing was right. The fullness of God's time was right. The prophecies were ready to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ is predictable. We can rest in Him. So we're going to put the first one up here. What else does the sun do for us? The second point, gives light. Okay, that's such an elementary. All right, light. I trust you all can read my writing. The sun gives light. The sun is approximately 93 million miles away, and this is a lot of speculation that goes into these figures. 93 million miles away, they have figured out that light travels at 186,282 miles per second, or if you want to get to mile an hour where we're used to, it's a staggering figure, 616,629 mile per hour, approximately around there. In other words, in 1 second, if you could travel that fast, you could be in 1 second, you could be around the earth 7.5 times. 1 second. That light, when it leaves that sun, takes us 7 minutes to get here. The light you're seeing is 7 minutes in getting here. It's staggering to think about. Remember what we read in Genesis? God created it. It's amazing. Sun creates light. Let's look. What does the Son of God do for us? I got verses to read, so we're going to be turning to a lot of them as we think about this. But John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 5. We have Jesus' words here. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The sun is the light. It's the greater light that rules the day. And Jesus is the light of the world. And don't forget it. And don't doubt it ever in your life. He is the one that came to save you and me. His light reaches everywhere. He is the light of the world. Turn with me back to John chapter 1. Verse 1 to 3 there in John chapter 1. We see where we go back to the creation story. In the beginning was the Word. In other words, that He was there in the creation. Jesus was at the creation. And our minds can hardly comprehend it. Same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. All right, there we have. Jesus referred to as the Word, but He is the light. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Why is this important to us? As we think of Jesus being light, He is the source of light. He is the light. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I'll try not to lose my train of thought here as I go through this. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14 and 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's where I was going to go with this point. The natural sun is out there. 93 million miles away. It affects us because it creates heat. It creates light. Okay? It comes to us. Now the sun that shines, should be shining from your life, dwells somewhere else. Where is that? That's within your heart. I trust it's within your heart. Shining out, radiating forth. Jesus is that light that other people should be drawn to. We enjoy light. Others should be drawn to it. What's a third one? Third aspect of the sun, the natural sun, is life. You realize that without the sun, there would be no life. Plants would not grow. You know, they have to have that photosynthesis. And they take those sun rays, they capture them, and they change them. And it feeds their life. We're going to tie in a little more of that, some of that, what that life, how the sun sustains life a little later. But it also, as it sustains life, it'll help our life because it keeps it from being too cold here. A little later on that. All right, life. How can we compare this to the Son of God? John chapter 3. We know the account well. Ye must be born again. Let's read. John chapter 3, I'm going to read the first 9 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? I don't understand it. How can you be born when you're old again? Well, we've grown up in the Mennonite home enough. We've heard this from little on, that we realize it's a hard experience. Our hearts are changed. It's a new birth. We're living a new life. We're no longer serving the old master. So the question is the sun shining? Can others see the new birth? Can they see the sun rays coming forth from the new birth? Is your life changed or are you still serving the old man? It's a challenge for us. Because the old man wants to step in and to raise his ugly head. We must crucify him daily. It's a daily choice. Let's be faithful in doing that. The fourth one is hell. Health. Do you realize that your body draws vitamin D from the sun? I have a skin disease that you probably all know about, or most of you anyhow, it doesn't matter, psoriasis. And the fact is that vitamin D takes care of it to a certain point. It helps. In the summertime, I don't have as much trouble with it. The wintertime, it gets bad. Vitamin D is essential to life. It's essential to health. I go to the doctor sometimes about it. I don't very much anymore. And the first thing they ask me, do you have arthritis from it? And I say, no, not yet. They say, well, if it gets bad enough, that's where it's going to go. To get a minimum dose of vitamin D from the sun per day, I found this interesting. 30 minutes. Need direct sunlight for 30 minutes to get a minimum dose. Vitamin D is needed for health and to maintain strong bones. It changes your calcium over so that your body can use them and build strong bones. Helps it to absorb the calcium from food and whatever you take, whether you take supplements or whatever. Vitamin D helps with that. We need vitamin D. Did you find it interesting? The minimum dose of sunlight to get vitamin D, enough vitamin D, is 30 minutes. How's your Bible reading? The S-O-N, we do good to have at least 30 minutes of Bible reading. Your spiritual health can decline so rapidly. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Some verses here we want to read. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read verse 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Is your fear of the Lord right? Are you steering clear of evil as you ought to? Are you watching the harmful effects that are coming into your life? Are you staying under the clouds too long? Fear the Lord, depart from evil, and it's going to bring health to you. We already read in John chapter 1, as we think of Jesus and the Word, and He's the living Word. The living Word. Jesus was alive, and He taught, and He preached, and He made the Word alive because He was living. And every word that He spoke was truth. And it's true for our day. Jesus isn't here today, but His Word is. We must partake of the Word. Hebrews chapter 4, let's read verse 12. For the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Read that too fast, it's a mouthful. But the fact is that he can see through in this Word of God when we read it, and we take it into our lives. It's going to help us to align ourselves with Him. In our bodies, in our health, there's this thing in our blood called cells. And maybe some of you are more educated than I am on this stuff, and that's all right. I want to get some thoughts, though, as we think about cells and how they go through your body. The red blood cells, I believe, carry food, oxygen to your body, and it goes to any part of your body. It's there to promote health and to promote growth in your body. There's another cell that floats around in there, and that's the white blood cell. What's the white blood cells do? Well, the white blood cells are there. They're like the ones that carry that sword. They're there to attack the evil that comes into the bloodstream. Those things that would ruin our health, those things that are cause damage to us and we lose our health because of. They attacked it. They suppress it. They destroy it or subdue it, and they want to keep it there. As the sun gives those nutrients to our body, the sun, when we read his word, that sharp two-edged sword, it starts dividing asunder our soul and spirit, what our thoughts and intents are, and it starts working in there. Why did I do what I did? What's the purpose of why I'm doing this? It's there to help us. It's the same as those white blood cells. As we read God's word, it's there the same as those white blood cells to fill us with the red and to attack the white. Or it's like the white that attacks those evil things that come in. So the question is, what are you feeding into your lives? Can the white blood cells, can the sun and the white blood cells keep up with the filth you're feeding in? I believe he's all powerful, but it says what's in your heart. And we must guard that. How is your spiritual health? Am I feeding on trash? Am I feeding on the filth of this world? And it's damaging my spiritual life. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Are you thankful for that? Have you availed yourself to that searchlight, that searching in your life? I trust you do on a daily basis. Just as we need the sun, the sun from the natural world, to promote our health, so we must have the Son of God and his word to promote our spiritual health. The fifth one.
Yes, that's spelled right.
That's how I have it in my notes. So, happiness. Happiness. We're not going to look for a raise of hands. How many of you have ever felt depressed in the wintertime versus in the summertime? Okay? I've been there. Studies have shown that when the sun isn't shining, the people are easily depressed. It also shows, they also have figured out, when the body recognizes sunlight through the optic nerve, your eyesight, when it sees it, it don't even need to feel it, just see it. The gland in the brain which regulates regulates the melatonin slows its function. In other words, it's not going to make you so drowsy. Because it's starting to come down, and the serotonin levels increase. When light is diminished, the body increases the other way around. The melatonin increases, and the serotonin goes down. With the sunlight and what you just see with your eye. I don't know how they did the tests on it. But I do know that I've already felt in my life, when the sun came out on a day, it felt so much better. It lifts your spirit. Maybe you never experienced that. I have. And a higher level of serotonin tends to make a person happier. Are we happy in the Lord? Going to the Son of God, are we happy in the Lord? Are you thankful? Are you glad you're where you're at in life? Are you thankful to be a part of the Cornerstone Mennonite Church and to pull your weight and to work with the congregational life? Are you really happy that you're where you're at? Or do you have a hankering for... Do we really have to do this? Your outlook in life is going to change a lot. And the way that you relate to life. Let's get some verses to go with happiness. Rejoice, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Your spiritual life, it don't matter what happens, it should be rejoicing in the Lord. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. I didn't write that down in my notes. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. The last part of that verse. Then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweets. The church there is that Ezra was reading to them from the scripture, and they were weeping because they felt so much that they betrayed their Lord, or their faith, their Jews, and their God of heaven. They failed him. But Nehemiah said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you get strength when you rejoice in the Lord? You sure do. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. John 15. Turn with me to that. John 15. We're going to read a number of verses here. Let's read verse 9 to 11. And maybe for a change of position, let's all stand as we read these verses. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You may be seated. Happiness, yes. God's joy resting in us. If you continue in my love. If you continue in what I have told you and put out as commandments to you, as you follow the scriptures and as you apply it to your lives, there'll be happiness. Let his joy remain in you. It goes with the drive in your life. What are you feeding on? What is driving you? Is it to be rejoicing in the Lord? Is it to be thankful and rejoicing in what he has provided for us? Well, we know the Son has everything it takes. The Son of God, Jesus, has everything it takes to inspire you on. Read the promises in his word. We're not going to go into them, but there's so many there. He has said so much when he was here on this earth. He has filled his word with it to inspire you to go on and have happiness. Now, we didn't look much at what the Son does when he goes and can calm us. That melatonin is a calming, and it puts us to sleep. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God has everything to give us peace as well. It's a little side note on the happiness. When we go through the trials and we don't see the sun as we ought to, He can give us peace in those trials. The sixth one. Produces energy. Produces energy. You don't drive very far around and you start seeing solar panels up. The solar field business seems to be on the up and coming. Now there's an aspect in our world that we think about that takes so much to get it up and going that does it ever pay for itself? We're not going to go there. Okay? But man, God has given man the ability to harness the rays of sunshine and to produce energy that he can put to work for him. Again, predictions of the sun. They predict that the sun is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Doubt whether they can ever read it. I don't know if they have a thermometer that can read it that high. That's their predictions. If you had a solar power or solar panel, solar field that could harness that energy and store it, that comes from that sun that's 10,000 degrees and shines on our earth, 1 hour of solar energy hitting the earth is enough to meet the world's energy needs for a year. The sun produces energy. Is there an abundance of energy that pours forth from the sun in the natural world? There sure is. We could use that for many things and we would probably have despair because we know it's going to be there tomorrow again. The Son of God produces energy. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Going to read verse 13 and 14, but there's some other points there I'd like in this verses. Let's go on back and start reading at verse 1. First John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have heard, which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's cease reading there. Produces energy. Did you catch the overcoming? In verse 13 and 14, young men, it says, but I believe it's for everyone. You have overcome the wicked one, and you do that through the power of Jesus. And his power that's available to you to apply in your life. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. And we got to come back to that energy source. Come read in verse 1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the one that forgives and lets you go on again. Be open with him. Be open with your brotherhood. Understand that we are all walking on a pathway to heaven, and there's trials in life, and we can fail. He's the advocate. He's the one that is interceding for us with the Father and pleading on our behalf. We could turn to Hebrews 7:25 and we get the same thing as of an advocate with the Father. He's there pleading for us. Trying to give us the energy to go on. He does the interceding. We plead to him. But he takes it up from there. Well, the next one I have, I wanted 7 of them. I couldn't come up with 7 right off. But I'm going to put it in underneath a little bit and put it in with this point a little bit. But that is warmth. We know the sun produces warmth. These verses here, did you get anything warm about it? If we didn't have the sun, the natural sun, we would be living in an ice ball. And I trust that God could have done something different to keep us from living there or made us fit for it. But he created the world in such a way that the sun produces enough warmth to sustain life. The Son of God produces, when he's in your heart, he produces a warmth. And that shows forth in the love that we read in these verses. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, in the sun. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He gives the energy to overcome. He gives the energy to love our fellow men. Where is the Son? Is he in your heart? There's going to be trials in life. going to be clouds that come between, strive to come between us and the sun. My question is, do we still see the sun shining above? Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. There's going to be trials in life. There's going to be clouds. Go ahead and take the time to read verses 10 to 17. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, longsuffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. The sun was shining above, and he knew it, and he delivered him. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's no way around it. You're going to suffer trials. And it's only going to get worse, it says in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's going to be trials, but we're called to continue in the things that we've been assured of. We know the Son is there and he's wanting to help us through those trials. Matthew 5, I want to read two verses there. You don't have to turn to that. Matthew 5, verse 10 and 11 reads this way. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Promising verses for us as we go through trials in life. There's promises for us. The Son is still there. He's there to help us. And when we come through victorious, usher us into the kingdom of heaven. Second Corinthians 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I trust that's our testimony. We face troubles all about us, but we're still trusting in the sun that's still above those clouds of trial. Well, discouragement is one of the devil's tools he likes to use. You know, the sun produces that happiness. It produces that calming effect in our lives. If the devil can keep the clouds hanging there long enough, you might become discouraged. And forget the sun is shining up above the clouds. So I trust this morning, we know in our hearts, and I trust it is about it inspired us more to realize that no matter what comes our way, we have a faithful God. We have a faithful Father God in heaven, and we have a faithful Son that is interceding for us with His Father. Why do we so many times look at the trials and forget the Son that's above the trials? Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. As we have thought of your creation and the sun that you've created, that greater light to rule the day, and its aspects and how it affects us in life. But then we look at your Son and how he has affected our spiritual life and our walk with you, and how he has paid that price. As we think about him paying that price, Lord, help us to always realize that above the trials that come our way, they're but a stepping stone to your glory above the trials. Help us to always see you in everything. Help us to use it as a stepping stone to make us grow stronger in you. Bless each and every one in the congregation here. May you bless them as they go through the days ahead. Be with those that could not be here this morning. May you bless them as well. And may we let your light shine through our lives that touches the lost about us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.